and thoughts and words into our minds. And I've talked with people at various times who said, just when I'm getting closest to the Lord, when I really want to worship Him, these horrible things come into my mind. And I said, you can be sure it's a demon. Anything that wants to keep you from worshiping God is a demon. Then demons deceive. They are behind all forms of religious deception. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, in the last times, some will depart from the faith, that's Christians, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. And believe me, my dear brothers and sisters, there are a lot of different deceiving spirits with doctrines that are demonic, and they're very near to all of us. Finally, demons make people weak or sick or tired or kill them. I dealt with a woman once. This is a remarkable situation. 72 different demons came out of her. She was a respectable woman. She was a registered nurse. She was charismatic, Pentecostal, but she had 72 demons. I didn't count them, but there was a woman making a little note of the names. And in the middle of this, it lasted 5 hours. She said, oh, I'm so tired. I can't go on. I can't take any more. And I thought, well, poor woman, she really is tired. And then the Lord showed me, that's not the woman, that's the demon. I said, you spirit of tiredness, come out of this woman. And it said, not the woman, it said, that's right, she's always tired. She's tired when she gets up, she's tired when she's going to bed. She's too tired to read the Bible, too tired to pray. When that spirit of tiredness came out of her, she was no longer tired. We finished the deliverance. Demons make you go to sleep. There's a spirit of slumber. It's referred to both in the Old and the New Testament. Have you ever considered that you can sit up till 2 a.m. watching something that you probably shouldn't be watching on the television? But if you decide to read your Bible, you go to sleep in 10 minutes. Is that right? That's not natural. There's something there that doesn't mind your watching television. In fact, probably wants you to watch it. But does mind your reading the Bible or praying. All right, those are some activities of demons. Now, the main areas in which they operate. I have to give this in a very condensed form, you understand. I'm writing a book about it. Please pray for me. It's not an easy book to write. I discovered about 10 different kinds of spirits or demons mentioned in the Old Testament and about 20 in the New. That's 30. But that's just a little sampling. There are hundreds of different kinds of demons. The main area that they affect, I believe, is emotions and attitudes. And behind every negative emotion and attitude, there is a corresponding demon. That doesn't mean you've got the demon, but that means that the demon's there trying to get you. For instance, you can get angry, and it's not a demon. It's just you, it's your flesh. But if you get angry and can't control yourself, and get angry when you don't want to get angry, that's a demon. Let me give you a list of some of the commonest names that I've dealt with. And another thing about demons is they operate in gangs. When one gets in, it opens the door for the next. And if you find certain demons, you can always look for their friends. Let's take one. Pride, rebellion. Rebellion almost always follows pride. And then witchcraft or the occult. Because 1 Samuel 15 verse 23 says, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Wherever you find rebellion, look for witchcraft. The great historical example of this is the young people of the United States in the 1960s. Almost a whole generation went into rebellion, and almost every one of them ended in the occult, because rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Now, I thank God I saw scores of them gloriously saved and delivered, but I learned the lesson. Then one of the commonest spirits is the spirit of fear. Paul says, God has not given us a spirit of fear. So it doesn't come from God. But fear is something that we easily, all of us, give way to. And it's followed by other things like rejection. One of the commonest emotional problems in the church and in the world today is rejection. It's a sense of feeling unworthy, unwanted. Nobody really loves me. I'm on the outside looking in. And I would say, in my observation, at least 20% of professing Christians today that I've met with need deliverance from rejection. It's really due to the breakup of the family. Because the thing that gives a child the sense of security is the love and the care of a father. And where that is missing, there's something that cries out, I don't know who I am. I don't feel secure. I don't know that people really love me. I want to tell you one thing. Jesus really loves you. But the devil will do his best to convince you it's true of everybody else but not you. Is that right? All right. Then another common one. And here's a whole gang in the order they usually come in. Resentment, unforgiveness, anger, hatred, violence, and murder. And if the gang goes all the way, murder will be there. Now remember, murder doesn't mean you've committed murder. It comes in to make you commit murder. And the Bible says, he who hates his brother is a murderer. Not will be a murderer, but is a murderer. And then, this is the opposite. Some people react, what do I say, aggressively. Some people react passively. I can't take any more. And so we get this little list. Disappointment. And that is a powerful spirit. Disappointment. If you've had a serious disappointment in your life, you need to check whether a spirit of disappointment has entered you. Disappointment. Loneliness. Nobody loves me. I'm all on my own. Misery. Depression, self-destruction, or suicide. And have you noticed in our contemporary culture how powerful the forces of self-destruction are? People deliberately destroying themselves? That's just a little glimpse. I could speak for 2 hours on that whole area without covering it all. The next area is the mind. I think the mind is the greatest battlefield in the world today.
Yes.
Much greater than what's going on in Yugoslavia or the Middle East. It goes on in people's minds. And Satan has a lot of demons with which he assails the mind. Number one, unbelief. Let's renounce unbelief right now, all of us together. Lord, we renounce unbelief. Say that. We renounce unbelief. We are believers. Unbelief has no place in us. That's wonderful. All right, then doubt. Doubt is a mental demon. I had a very interesting experience years ago. A young theological student from, I think, Yale, I forget which, one of the top American universities, heard about my ministry of deliverance. And he got interested, so he came to a camp where I was teaching. But before he came, he made up his mind, nobody's going to change me. I'll leave that camp the same way I came. So he came, he watched, he saw what happened, but he was true to his determination. He left the same way he came. But in the airplane on the way back, he got such a terrible headache, he thought he was going to die. And he began to cry out to God, and God showed him it was a spirit of doubt. And God showed him when it had entered him. One of his fellow students had said to him, Christopher, do you really believe Jesus fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes? And he gave this sort of compromise answer, well, whether it really happened or not, it doesn't affect my faith in Jesus, which is a lie. And he realized that's when the spirit of doubt had entered him. Well, as he cried on the Lord, he felt it leave him through his left ear. Sitting next to him in the plane was a woman he'd never met before in his life. He didn't know her name. He turned to her and he said, I believe Jesus fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's the way to cancel a wrong statement, is to make the right statement. See? Then there's compromise. That's another mental demon. I had a minister in a, what they call an old line denomination, come to me once for counseling. And after I listened to him for a while, I said, you know, I think your problem is compromise. And he said, that's right. He said, I've struggled with compromise all my life. He was a very quiet, well-mannered man. But when I came against that spirit, it became violent. It threw him across my office, to and fro. And I thought, I couldn't believe that compromise could be such a powerful spirit. Then there's forgetfulness. I think of a woman I dealt with once to deliver from the spirit of forgetfulness. And the spirit said, I can't come out. If I come out, she'll memorize all those scriptures. It did come out and she did memorize the scriptures. Then confusion, a very, very common spirit. Torment. I think I've spoken about that. Tormenting you with lies, with insinuations, with denials of the Word of God, and insanity. And it's surprised me how many Christians are secretly fighting against the fear of going insane. And the devil says something like this, well, you know, your aunt ended in a mental institution, and so did your cousin, and you'll be the next. And they can go through life fighting that fear of insanity. And it's a demon. It's a horrible demon. Another very important area is the tongue. And there are various demons that affect the tongue. Lying. Some people are compulsive liars. They don't even know when they're lying, because another spirit has taken over. Cursing. Blasphemy. I was delivered from those two demons when I was saved. I could not speak 5 sentences without cursing and blaspheming. And when I was saved and all these demons came out of me, next morning, there was no cursing, there was no blasphemy. I didn't give it up, it gave me up. Yes. Then there's the two that are the church-going demons, gossip and criticism. I was in a meeting once and a woman came, said, you have a spirit of criticism. I commanded it to come out of her. She started to cough, and 3 other people all around started to cough at the same time. I said, I know the problem in this church. Then there's the subject that nobody ever talks about in church. That's sex. Let me say, sex is not evil, it is good. Get that clearly in mind. God created man sexual. And after he created him, he saw everything he had made was very good, including sex. However, sex is so powerful that if the devil can get in there, he's got a major way of influencing your life. Here are some of the names. They're very obvious. Fornication. And you can call it premarital sex, but it's still a demon. Adultery. I think of a woman Lydia and I dealt with years ago. She was a member of, well, let's say, the Episcopalian Church. She was a Sunday school teacher. And she had a real desire for God. But she told us that twice she'd committed adultery. And I had the impression she really hated it. She didn't want to do it. So I, talking with her, I discovered that when she was conceived, her father was living in adultery. And the result was she was born with the spirit of adultery in her. Well, she got delivered. And then she said, do you think I have to tell my husband? I said, that's your decision, not mine. But if you want God's real blessing on your marriage, you have to be honest with one another. Well, she said, he's a green beret. I don't think you people know that. I think they call it the special force, you know, these specially tough soldiers. He always carries a gun. Well, I said, it's your decision. And we didn't hear any more for a while, and then we'd heard she'd told her husband he'd forgiven her. Their marriage was better than it had ever been. But you see, she was totally innocent in a way. And that's why deliverance is so important, because a lot of people suffer who are innocent. They're suffering as a result of sins of others. We need to offer them deliverance. Then there's masturbation. Some people say masturbation is natural. I don't believe that, but I'm not really concerned about that. Let me tell you this. If you have a problem with masturbation and you can't overcome it, and you hate yourself for doing it, and yet you go on doing it, it is a demon. And I can say without exaggeration, I've seen hundreds of people delivered from the spirit of masturbation. And let me tell you now, so I don't embarrass you later, it usually comes out through the fingers. And I've had scores of people say to me, Brother Prince, I don't know what's wrong with me. My fingers are going stiff, they're getting numb, they're bending backwards, they're tingling. I say, I can tell you your problem. It's masturbation. And listen, it's a very stubborn spirit. So if you want to get it out, you've got to be determined. Shake it out of your fingers. Go on until it's not there any longer. And plead the blood of Jesus against it. Now, if you're happy masturbating, don't let me spoil your happiness. But if you're a slave to it, as millions of people are, then I want to tell you, you can be delivered. And we have come to the point where that will happen. Then homosexuality. Lots of people say people are born homosexual. They may be born with a homosexual demon in them, but that's not being born homosexual. I had a letter just recently from a Baptist pastor who'd been dealing with a young man, a Christian, who came to him and said, Pastor, I'm tormented. I had this thing in me, and I don't want it. And the pastor sat in front of him and quoted scriptures to him for about 10 minutes, and suddenly the young man lurched sideways out of the church, collapsed on the floor, and was delivered. And he rose to his feet and walked up and down in the office saying, Thank God I'm free. Thank God I'm free. Thank God I'm free. I have all the sympathy in the world for homosexuals, but I don't believe they need to stay homosexual. The church can welcome them, provided they change. Yes. Paul said to the Corinthian church, such were some of you. Not are some of you, but were some of you. Jesus has the power to deliver homosexuals. Yes. Prostitution. Pornography. They call pornography a billion-dollar industry. What an industry. But it has a very strong hold, and there are many in the church contaminated by pornography. And finally, sexual fantasy. There's a whole lot of people who fantasize about sex. Basically, fantasy is evil. So if you have it, get rid of it. Then there are what I call lusts, other strong desires. One of the obvious ones is nicotine. If you are a compulsive smoker and you can't give up, you probably have a demon of nicotine. You can be delivered. I can say I've seen dozens of people delivered. Alcohol, again. If you're an alcoholic, you want to give up, you can't, you can be delivered. If you deal with it as a demon and hate it. Gluttony, that's just as dangerous as alcohol. Ultimately, it destroys life. Then there are various drugs. We can't go into the whole drug thing, but there are strange addictions, like sniffing airplane glue, which is quite common with young people. Lydia and I once dealt with a young woman who was a member of a Pentecostal church. And she told us with great embarrassment, she said, I'm addicted to nail varnish. She said, if I walk into the cosmetics department of a big store, I've only got two options. I can either buy nail varnish or run out of the store. I've got no other option. Well, when that demon came out of it, it tore her and it came out screaming. It was powerful. Now, many addictions are branches that grow on a bigger branch. So if you're going to deal with the addiction, you probably have to deal with the bigger branch. The bigger branch is usually frustration. When people are frustrated, they turn to something for consolation. drink, food, who knows what, drugs. So it's not enough in many cases to deal with the addiction, you have to deal with the frustration. Let me give you a simple example based on experience. You've got two women, each of whom has a husband who's unfaithful, runs around, spends too much money, and doesn't show much love for his wife. So they're both frustrated. One of them is an Anglican. She moves in pretty high society, and her solution is the cocktail cabinet. She just has to walk across the room and take a drink, and she becomes an alcoholic. The other is a Church of God. And I mean, cocktail cabinets are not even in her vocabulary. So, but she has to find some comfort. Where does she go? Tell me. The refrigerator, that's right. Takes out an ice cream and becomes an addict. Yes or no? Are there people who are addicted to soft drinks? There are. Coke. I understand it's called Coke because one of the initial ingredients is cocaine. Do you know how many pints the average American drinks of soft drinks? 37 quarts every year. And I don't drink any, so they drink my share too. You have to decide, where do you go for comfort? Because in times of pressure, we need something to take the pressure off. And usually what we need becomes an addiction. There's a strange silence. All right, then there's the occult. A major area. I think 90% of people in Britain today are involved in the occult. And most of them don't know it. I couldn't give you a list, but let me just tell you one thing. The New Age is a kind of catalog of the occult. And it's not new. They all go back for thousands of years. But anything, let me say it this way, there are many ways into the supernatural. But there's only one way that leads into God's supernatural. That is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if you enter in. If you get into the supernatural any other way, and I did myself, before I was saved, I tried to become a yogi. I got into the supernatural, but it was not God's supernatural. Let me warn you against fortune-telling, one of the biggest snares of Satan today. In Acts 16, Paul and Silas arrived in Philippi, and there was a girl with a spirit of divination, that's fortune-telling. Actually, what the Greek says, she had a python spirit. That's all it said. Because python was the snake associated with fortune-telling in Greece. And she followed Paul and Silas, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who show to us the way of salvation. Remarkable. Every word she said was true, and she was the first person in Philippi to identify the apostles. And she was a servant of Satan. The fact that a fortune teller can tell you truth does not mean it comes from God. My wife has permitted me to tell this. Before she was saved, she was recommended by somebody to go to a fortune teller, a woman. The woman never saw her before and never saw her again, thank God. She knew nothing about her, and she told her three things about her. You cannot bear children, you have three adopted children, and your husband has left you. None of those did she know by natural means. But she was a servant of Satan. Why did Satan tell her the truth? To ensnare her. It was his bait to get her into the occult. Oh, there's so many dangers. Ruth and I dealt with a young woman here in Britain who was a Christian. But she'd gone to a fortune teller. She knew she shouldn't. And the fortune teller told her, you'll be a widow very young. And shortly afterwards, her husband was killed in a freak accident. And then when we came, she came to me and she was pleading with me to tell her that the fact she'd gone to a fortune teller had nothing to do with her husband's death. And I couldn't tell her. I did everything I could to comfort her, but I believed in a way it was a connection. I remember once I was praying for a woman who needed deliverance. She'd been a spiritist. And I was getting pretty tired because she wasn't really cooperating. And in the middle of it all, she suddenly said, I see you in a car and it's wrecked against a tree. And I thank God I was on my alert. And I said, you lying spirit, I'm not going to be in any car that'll be wrecked against a tree. And I never have been. That was more than 30 years ago. But suppose I had said, oh, isn't that awful? I'm going to be in a car that's going to be wrecked against a tree. You know what I'd be doing? I would be submitting to Satan's destiny for my life. And I would easily open the way for it to be fulfilled. There is a move in the charismatic movement which is mistakenly called prophecy, which tells people you can get a word from the Lord. And we've had them in some churches I've been in. They come around and they say, how many of you want to hear from the Lord? I'll pray over you. I call it charismatic fortune telling. I do not believe it is from God. And I've seen lives and churches wrecked by it. We need discernment. Listen, there's two different ways of being guided. Number one is the regular, normal way. It's from the scriptures. Number two is special guidance by prophecy, revelation, vision. But if you are not following number one, you have no right to ask for number two. You understand me? In other words, if you're not walking according to the revealed will of God in the scriptures, don't ask God for a supernatural revelation, because you'll get the wrong God. Well, all right, I can't take more time than that. False religions. I believe every false religion is demonic. And I'll list some without commenting on them. Christian Science, Unity, Islam, Baha'i, Freemasonry. I want to comment on that. I've summoned that one of the most deadly snares of Satan. And it usually makes people violent. We have seen some very violent deliverance from people who had an involvement in Freemasonry. It also affects children. We've seen some terrible cases of children that were not normal as a result of involvement in Freemasonry. And if it's in your background, you need to renounce it. You may have an uncle or a grandfather who was a Freemason. It's bringing a curse on your life. All right, Jehovah's Witnesses, Theosophy, Humanism, and all Oriental cults, in my opinion, are demonic. Then there are heresies. That's departures from the Christian faith. And my little list, which is by no means complete, is Mormonism, reincarnation, and all religions that emphasize salvation through works. Okay? They're all demonic. Then there's the physical body. And the list here could be endless. Many different forms of infirmity and pain are demonic. And you only look at the ministry of Jesus to see this. He dealt with many sicknesses by casting out the demons. I'll just give a little list of some of the evil spirits of infirmity or sickness that I have personally dealt with. And this list could be three times as long. Number one, epilepsy. Now, I do not say that all sicknesses are necessarily demonic. You have to have discernment. But if I did have to pick one sickness that I consider to be demonic, it would be epilepsy. And I have seen many epileptics delivered. If an epileptic comes to me now for prayer, I say this. I listen, I'm willing to pray with you, but there could be a battle. If you're willing to fight along with me, I'll pray for you. But if you expect me to do all the fighting, I won't pray. Then another very common one is stress. Stress is a person, not a condition. Migraine. Many different forms of head pain and nerve pain. Allergies. Now, I don't say all allergies are demonic, but I know a whole lot are. Let me tell you one really fascinating story.